The Egyptians had harmed his people. And what is the Lord declaring? I hold your lives. Boils cover their bodies. What did it do? Here's what it did. It confronted them with their own mortality.
You know, we look at a passage like this and we think, oh yeah, that was ancient Egypt. They thought differently. Nobody thinks like we're immortal anymore. Really? If you take an honest look at life, more often than not, we live as if there's no tomorrow. We live as if we'll live forever. We have no real concern. We don't, as James would say, if I could paraphrase, think on our deaths often. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We invite you to join us in our series on the plagues. We continue by looking at this plague of boils in Exodus 9, verses 8 through 12. Here's Pastor Chris now with more.
Now God has calculated it all, demanding a reckoning, and here comes the recompense. We read that this dust fell on their bodies and it became boils. I don't know if in Western society we're as accustomed to this because of our medicine. I was, again, been so fascinated, strangely enough, with the Black Death of the 14th century. And the Black Death eventually was given the name, it was adopted of that name because of what happened on people's bodies were these black boil-like plague boils. They were black boils that showed up on people's bodies. They called them strange swellings, which were followed by fevers and chills and vomiting and diarrhea, terrible aches and pains, and then in short order, death. The Black Death was an awful thing that happened. Indiscriminately, they called it contagious. Boccaccio said, the mere touching of the clothes appeared to itself to communicate the malady to the toucher. The disease, he said, was terrifyingly efficient. People who were perfectly healthy, one night would go to bed, and in the morning they'd be dead. Read it. It wiped out a third of Europe's population. In Egypt, the common suggestion, and this is why the sermon is tough, I understand. Who wants to hear about this? I don't want to hear about this. But it's reality. The problem in Egypt, they say, was known as a kind of skin anthrax. One described the plague that in history, and whatever form the plague took, as it became known as the plague, it takes the form first of a big swelling on the affected part of the skin. After 2 or 3 days, there appears to be a small bluish-red pustule with a central depression in the middle of the swelling. This depression dries up and new boils shoot up. The first plagues were just annoying, weren't they? Frogs, the Nile. Have you noticed this is getting a lot more personal? What was the Lord confronting? Well, the Egyptians were obsessed with medicine. The Egyptians were obsessed with healing. Closely connected with their medicine was their religion. You can see this in most ancient countries and peoples, that they tied these things together. They would pray endlessly to their gods for healings from all the diseases and the sicknesses. So you had about 4 major gods in Egypt that they would cry out to. Amun-Ra, which you've probably heard of. They have uncovered a tablet that showed and depicted him as a healer. A physician who heals the eye, they said, and dispels ailments. A physician who heals the eye without having remedies. Opening the eyes and driving away the squint, rescuing whom he desires. He makes a lifetime long or shortens it. Amun-Ra. Prayers to Amun-Ra were made. Imhotep was known as the god of medicine. And it was probably the one here the Lord is directly assaulting was known as Sekhmet. He was a lion-headed, she was a lion-headed goddess who was worshipped for having the power to create epidemics and bring them to an end. In fact, there was a whole priesthood devoted to Sekhmet, which is probably who they were casting the ashes to. To ward off all the evil in people's lives. So many advances had been made in medicine. So many technological advances in Egypt, we still are amazed at what they could build. The medicines were really, really spectacular and remarkable for the time. They had a whole cult of worship for these gods, and they gave glory to these gods for healing in their lives. I'm so thankful for kind providence that the Lord gives us that. Healing and medicines. We live in a day untouched in the history of the world with this stuff. I get sick. I can go to the doctor. I really do. I think most people here expect to be healed. We expect that. I've noticed in my time as a pastor that the prayer requests have grown so much about any aches or pains that people have. And we should. I'm not challenging that, but I've shown that it's become so expected that we will get healed from these things. It's so normal to us, we can't imagine differently. We really can't. Today we have lasers and we have scanners and we have techniques for surgeries and we have everything. What they're predicting we're able to do in the future, new knees, new hips, new this, new that. We never would dream that we would have these things today. And we say that all the time. Boy, it's just remarkable what those doctors can do today. I hear it universally. Just remarkable what those doctors can do today. Years ago, when disease struck, I'm thinking of all these pastors' biographies that I've read over the years, where I've read of one pastor that lost 12 out of his 13 children. I can't even imagine that. I haven't known that. Years ago, polio and smallpox wiped out vast portions of populations, just like us. Most of the diseases 100 years ago, they've been wiped out today, most of them. Most of us today, when we get sick, we think we'll go to the doctor and we'll get well. What happens in that environment? Do you see what God's assaulting? The Egyptians had harmed his people. And what is the Lord declaring? I hold your lives. You don't hold your lives. You realize he holds every single life, every single heartbeat in his hand. I was just reading of a girl this last week swimming in a pool and the heart just stopped, 16 years old. He determines the boundaries of where you live. He determines how long you're going to be here. You don't hold your life. Boils cover their bodies. What did it do? Here's what it did. It confronted them with their own mortality. Something Egyptians refused to accept. Look at their burials. You have to understand what just happened to them in Egypt, boils all over bodies, they would have never dreamed could happen in Egypt. What was the Lord confronting with this plague? They don't have control over their bodies or health. They're dust. To dust you all return. From dust you were made, to dust you shall return. What a powerful message. Because we really don't live thinking that something like this could happen. Boils. I have a pastor friend who had a real health scare last month in his family. And his wife was very concerned about something that was going on. And he tells me, he says, we are so relieved in our family. We went to the doctor. Everything's great. But we thought this was serious stuff. And then he looked at me and he said, Chris, one day, that report won't be good for any of us. I hate hearing that. I absolutely hate hearing that. One day it won't be good. Probably the greatest testing of faith comes by way of our health. When health is attacked, you're confronted head on with what you believe, how you will move forward, that you're facing the reality of it, and ultimately where you're going to put your trust. A lot in this church have been tested with that. A lot in this church are being tested with it right now. Sickness and weakness has a way of confronting us with our own mortality. It's as one pastor says, you know, we have to emphasize, we are all dying. And until we're confronted with that reality in our own body, we go on in our own strength. The glory and pride, the Proverbs say, of a young man is his strength. But when sickness comes, people are confronted with real questions about life and forced to think about greater things. The plague was utterly humiliating to the Egyptians. And that was the design. What do things like that do? Well, they drive us to think seriously about a larger question, about what God has said from the beginning, that the wages of sin is death. Daniel Defoe, in his Journal of the Plague Year, the plague that wiped out London in 1665, cautioned about reading Providence and never asking, you know, not being sure about, everyone was running around London saying this is God's judgment for this sin and these sort of things. He says, we can't say that. Defoe was really, really careful in looking at these things and talked about causes and all that. But he'd made a fascinating observation in the book. He said, at that time when the plague hit, the government called for a return to the Lord. They appointed public prayers and days of fastings and humiliations to make public confession of sin and implore the mercy of God. The very dreadful judgment, he records, that people flocked to the churches. The churches were absolutely packed out. He was distressed in the book, which made me so sad to read, that the ministers railed against them, that their sins caused this, and they didn't give them any hope or gospel. And he said they should have been preaching forgiveness, you know. What do you think happened in Egypt? After all these plagues by now, what do you think happened in Egypt? What do you think starting to happen in Egypt? Not one boil has hit God's people. Not one. Well, don't you think many would start looking over to the borders of Goshen? I would think. You know what happens in chapter 12 when Israel leaves? We read a fascinating statement that a mixed multitude went up with them also. Those were Egyptians. God was saving Egyptians. They came to Christ, many of them. This is why the Lord was so concerned about the stranger in your gates, right? What question did all of this make the Egyptians ask? This is where I'm going with all this morning. What question did this stuff make the Egyptians ask? Why are these people standing and we're not? Might they have looked at what the New Testament teaches us about joy in affliction? What the Lord teaches us about a witness in our bodies in the midst of hardships, about how we can show forth the sufferings of Christ, amazingly enough? There are a lot of questions unbelievers ask at times like this. The plague was intended to do this for all of Egypt, and it leads to the great question this morning in verse 11. The great question this morning that we're led to in verse 11 is this: and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. They could no longer stand before God's holy prophet. Did Israel have to think a lot about how they were able to stand? Yes. Something so fascinating in Israel's history comes out in Deuteronomy 28 when this same threat of boils is made against God's people. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors, festering sores in the itch from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will afflict your knees and your legs with painful boils that cannot be cured, spreading from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. What? Why would you do that to your people? You know what it says? These curses will come upon you if you don't keep the law. The same thing that happened to the Egyptians will happen to you if you don't keep the law. To which every Israelite should have made the connection. If this can happen to us, then that means we're no better than the Egyptians. God always reminded Israel, it was never because of your righteousness. It was never because of your righteousness that I'm doing this. It was because of the righteousness of another, Romans 10, that they wouldn't submit to. Keep the law. Israel had to grapple with that. Why is God showing us favor when we don't deserve it? If you don't keep the law, you get the boils, to which Israel should have been taught and learned to say, we don't keep the law. And it was the same question then that came out in Israel's history from the men of Beth Shemesh, who can stand before the Lord, this holy God? This was his prophet. Egypt couldn't stand before the prophet. How can we stand? If we can't stand before the prophet, how can we stand before the Lord, our holy God, and his prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the scriptures has told you over and over, you got to have clean hands and a pure heart, which we don't have. And then we transition this morning to what the entire life of Christ teaches us. How much attention did the Lord Jesus Christ devote to people's sickness? How much attention did the Lord Jesus Christ devote to people's sickness? Oh, he cared. A woman with a flow of blood. A man paralyzed. A man blind from birth. Leprosy everywhere. Jesus comes and he starts laying his hands on them and healing them. These needy, unclean people. And that was the message. All of them in the society were unclean. The blind man taught us about spiritual blindness. The leper about the uncleanness of our lives to come before the priest. The woman with the flow of blood about a constant uncleanliness. The paralyzed man about the spiritual inability to come to Goshen. Wherever he went, into villages and cities or the country, he laid his hands on the sick in the marketplaces. And they begged him that they just might touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. What does Christ's ministry show you? A great physician. He told us the ultimate goal of doing all that. I came for the sick. I didn't come for the healthy. To which all of that told us that the deeper issue that all that symptomatically told us of was the problem of our spiritual condition before God. I came for sinners. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Those who know they're sick and need a physician. And I'm going to be the great physician to go to them. Physical sickness is a symptom of the greater problem that death reigns in your bodies. And that's because of the problem of sin, which bars everyone from God. And the Lord came to do what? Set you free. To give his life so that you one day, think about the glory of this, dear Christians, you might be able to stand before the Lord your God. That's the beauty. He gave his body, Jesus Christ, think about it, gave his body to become the what? Curse. That our bodies have the promise of a resurrection with no more curse forever. And our souls cleansed from all impurity. I need that. And the Lord encourages us today that if we have Christ, we have all these promises. That doesn't mean you won't face sickness for the moment. You have a perspective through it, though, as a Christian. Death is not punishment. Death is an entrance into eternal life, as our Heidelberg says. But there is an enemy that kills our bodies. And that's death. And the Lord Jesus Christ has said, I've come to beat death, sin, and the grave. So that you would have your boast this morning in him. Along the way, we all enter the gates of Goshen by faith. We believe him. And when we believe him, we are cleansed. And then he makes us able to stand. And that's the hope that's given to us at the end of the book of Jude, which said, now to him who is able, think about this, to make you stand and present you before the throne of glory with faultless, with exceeding joy. Tonight, it's fascinating. Paul says we land on in 1 Corinthians, it's the gospel by which you stand. One thought, and I close with this. You know how the Journal of the Plague Year by Defoe ends? Once the plague had ceased in London, it died out, and everyone got back with life. Defoe writes, many of the people, it can be said, were thankful for the deliverance, but I must own that for the generality of the people, it might too justly be said of them, as it was of the children of Israel, after their being delivered from the host of Pharaoh when they passed through the Red Sea and looked back and saw the Egyptians overwhelmed in the water, they sang his praise, but they soon forgot his works. Don't be one of those. But that's not how the journal ends. Here's how the journal ends. Listen to this. A dreadful plague in London was in the year 65, which swept away 100,000 souls away, yet I alive. It's the end of the book. A dreadful plague in London was in the year 65, which swept 100,000 souls away, yet I alive. When your life is over, if you could capture your life in a short poem, the story of your life, wouldn't it sound something similar? A dreadful plague in the world there was in the year of our Lord, which swept 100,000 at your side, Psalm 91. Yet I alive. I hope you can in confidence say right now, the Lord's blessing is on me and not curse. And I live by his grace. He's able to make me stand. And that only comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And amen. Well, tomorrow we look at the seventh plague, the perfect storm. And really, what it means for you and I today, pretty profound. You'll have to join us. Well, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our time together today found in Exodus, our series called The Plagues. To obtain a copy of today's program or the entire set, we would invite you to call or write to us here at Abounding Grace. 888-504-8805 is our number. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Another way to reach out to us, also learn a bit more about us and who we are, would be through our website, agradio.org. Abounding Grace is also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and links to those sites are, again, at our website, agradio.org. You'll also find recent blogs, vlogs, and other information, as well as past programs, all housed at agradio.org. As we close out our time together today, we also would like to let you know that we do have a special running throughout the series here on the plagues, How to Pray. Have you ever found yourself challenged about your prayer life, wish it could be more than it is? Well, recently, Pastor Chris has gone through a series called How to Pray. It's an amazing series that we are making available on a thumb drive. That's right, a thumb drive. For a gift of $15 or more, we'll send this thumb drive your way. It contains all of the messages in this series. Again, on a convenient thumb drive that you can place into just about any device that will take an MP3. Again, for a gift of $15 or more, when you reach out to us, we'll send you this wonderful resource on prayer. Reach out to us again at 888-504-8805 or by writing to us, Abounding Grace, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264, or drop us an email when you visit us online at agradio.org. As promised, now let's return to Pastor Chris once again as we close out today's broadcast with a word of prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, you teach us so much in the scriptures about your gospel and your peace and your love. And as we see these afflictions and as we study them, when we know that when we come to Christ, we have been cleansed, and that whatever then happens to us in this life, whatever sicknesses, whatever trials, and even death, it doesn't mean that you're against us. You've told us that you sent your Son to remedy that problem, and that one day there will be a new heavens and a new earth where we will dwell with no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death. But let us not put our trust in doctors or men, but in the Lord, who gives us the ultimate healing that we need, the ultimate need for the forgiveness of our sins. And through his precious blood, we have triumphed in him over death and the grave. And may you work deeply in the hearts of all of us to love you, to trust you, and to live by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.